A couple of years ago, the White House generated a call trying to get 1 million professionals in science, technology, engineering, and math all across our country to go out into the community as mentors, volunteers, and coaches by the year 2020. And the focus is to encourage more American students, particularly girls, particularly low-income and moderate-income young people, and students of color to get involved in science, technology, engineering, and math. I got a personal goal so somebody can figure out how to clone me. Hey, that's what science, technology, engineering, and math is all about. Well, a number of cities, 52 cities applied, 13 were finalists, 7 cities won, including Indianapolis, led by the Tech Point Foundation. They got a whole lot of sponsors working together, everybody from Lilly to Roche to Rolls-Royce to Exact Target and Dow, Cummins, First Internet Bank, Interactive Intelligence, 3M, and the pilot program will be working with students at, not only at our Boys and Girls Clubs, but in Pike Township Schools, the Lawrence Township Schools, and IPS, here to talk about what this is all about and what the community can do to start firing up their kids to get involved in science, technology, engineering, and math. From beautiful Pike Township, Tracy Bunting Swinton. From beautiful Lawrence Township, the new superintendent, Dr. Sean Smith. And from IPS, the busiest tweeting superintendent in town, Dr. Lewis Farabee. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Pleasure, sir.
So, how did you all come together working with Tech Point to put this presentation together? And did you guys feel this was strong enough that Indianapolis cream would rise to the top?
I can start with that. Early last fall, there was a WebEx that was advertised through the internet, and I emailed our superintendent, who couldn't be here today, Mr. Jones, and I asked if I could explore this. Signed onto the webinar, listened, and then Laura Dodds from Tech Point Foundation for Youth contacted those folks, wanted to know who in Indianapolis was interested, and she contacted us all, and we went to a table, we started planning this, and so we were early signers and part of the guiding coalition. We're interested in becoming a full-fledged K-12 STEM district, so we're starting to build that. Now,
do we have enough potential mentor types in Indianapolis in STEM, and are people that are in STEM careers, are they good mentors? Because somebody might be a great scientist or a great technological person, and they might not be a good people person, particularly a people person with a kid, because it's how you bond with the kid that makes it successful. Superintendent Smith?
I think so, Amos. I think they're... We're not asking the individuals to come in and teach them all day. We just want them to be able to expose the kids, share what they do with the kids. Remember, a lot of our students don't come from backgrounds where there's individuals that have such expertise. Right. So whatever they can share and provide each of the students is going to be a help.
How important is it to particularly to try to turn kids on to STEM? And balancing out that y'all got these new standards that I didn't like, but y'all got this, you got to play the hand you dealt, that are involved in teaching kids to think for themselves, teaching kids to like open their eyes. So how important is it to find, if not role models in STEM that looks like them, examples of things that STEM creates that they can relate to? And what hit me the other week was I didn't realize that the person who invented Kevlar that makes the bulletproof vests was a woman. And a legendary scientist that like worked with the test tubes and stuff at DuPont. Kids may not recognize her, but if you tell somebody the person who invented a bulletproof vest was a woman, to me, would turn some lights on with kids.
You're absolutely right. And you said something about how do we get kids to think for themselves or even want to.
And that is that's what part of this whole new standard thing is about.
Right. And so I saw a study, I cannot cite it exactly, but I saw a study that looked at kindergarten kids and they gave them some materials and they were told to build something. And they were so creative and they didn't get any other guidance, just do something with it. And they were able to make these fabulous structures work together And then they did it with older kids, and they've lost their ability to do something without somebody telling them step by step what to do. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that with this initiative and with them being able to have access to STEM professionals that look like them and others who may not, but people who can come in and help us with existing programs, bring and maybe bringing in some new things to teach kids the steps in what engineering, what is engineering? Right. What does it look like? What's technology? It's not just what you see, you know, playing with apps on the computer or your iPad, but it's more than that. And we have this magazine sitting out in my office, and it's called STEM Careers. And there's this this whole magazine is full of amazing jobs out there that I've never even knew existed. Cirque du Soleil and all the engineering and technology and science and math. And there's all kinds of people, women, minorities, men, from different backgrounds featured in this magazine. And I don't think kids understand the possibility. And the reason why we want to do US 2020 is to expand their knowledge of the possibility.
Is it also, Superintendent Farabee, finding ways in the regular curriculum where kids can be exposed to what technology, what science is, or maybe change their perception of it? I know you visited, was out of Indianapolis. We were both out of the Indianapolis 500. You've got to see it for the first time. There's a lot of technology out there. I was kind of watching you say, I said, I bet Dr. Farabee's trying to figure out how do I get some of my IPS kids to see what's going on in those pits and the technology to kind of turn kids on to say, wait a minute, this is not what I thought it was. This is fun.
You're absolutely right, Amos. You make a good point. And what was exciting about that entire experience is we actually had representative from the Indianapolis 500 drivers actually take cars out to our schools and expose students to not only the speed and the design of the car, but also all the technical work that goes into to building the vehicles and what's involved throughout the race. But, you know, there are many other organizations that are very interested in helping us build a robust STEM pipeline for Indianapolis. What we know, it is estimated that by 2018, we could be as short as 3 million jobs in STEM-related fields. And so it's really important for us to prepare our students for those options. And we believe that we can begin to do that better by exposing students to STEM-related work as early as the elementary years. I think sometimes now we don't do that until students are in middle school or in high school. And there's so many opportunities to expose students through extracurricular activities and what happens in the classroom. So we're excited through the investments of Lilly Foundation and the Lilly Corporation, we're able to provide enrichment opportunities, and our project Lead the Way curriculum for our elementary students beginning the 2014-15 school year.
239-1310. We're talking about STEM education. It is a pilot. It is called US 2020. And it's going to be involved not only in our Boys and Girls Clubs, but also in the Pike, Lawrence, and IPS schools starting this coming school year. Is it going to be at the middle school level, or is it going to be how will your kids get engaged in this?
We are doing it K-12. Right now I'm in conversations with Project Lead the Way and Dow, who has been helping us. They're right in our backyard, but the Dow National Office has given us $60,000 to create Project Lead the Way.
Now, what is Project Lead the Way? Some may not be familiar with
Project Lead the Way. They designed courses.
Okay.
And they started with high school, they have things in the engineering field, technology, biomedical, advanced manufacturing. Anybody have anything
else?
They have all these courses. And so we have Project Lead the Way at Pike High School already. But what we found was kids were not interested as much as we hoped that they would be. So we know we have to start a lot younger. The younger we can catch them, and I'm talking kindergarten, to get really interested in those STEM areas. So now they have these gateway modules in Project Lead the Way. And the gateway modules are designed for middle school kids, and they are kind of the introduction into what they may experience in the high school. So we're working with all three of our middle schools. They'll all have Project Lead the Way in them. We're going to start with the robotics and automation module.
Right.
We'll add medical detectives and then the design and modeling module.
How important is it if the parent isn't into STEM? In other words, that's not what they do for a living. They did not like science and math when they were in school. Is there any way you guys are going to try to work with parents and grandparents and guardians so that they're not the ones kind of blocking their kid or grandkid's interest in exploring? Because I think part of the whole science, technology, math is the first step is young people wanting to explore and test things. In other words, okay, what if I take this match and strike it somewhere? What will happen? Because anything in STEM, you are trying to test a question. You know, how do we get parents? Because the parent could be the one to tell the girl, well, you don't really want to do that. You want to come in here and help me cook. Or tell the boy, why are you got your hands dirty, you got the clothes dirty, and then they just go off, not thinking that he was doing an experiment trying to say, can worms survive without dirt? You know, those kind of things.
So I think one of the ways is to get parents excited about what students can discover and create in STEM-related fields. And so, you know, what I said earlier as it relates to extracurriculars, I think we have to make a connection with families by giving students the opportunity to showcase the problems that they can solve and the devices that they can create. And, you know, for example, one of the things that was really exciting through our robotics competition is that we had a lot of parents there just wowed by what students could accomplish with the robots. I think you can do that in a lot of other areas as well. So we believe by creating a K-12 continuum, and you're going to hear a lot of that from all of us because we believe it's important to start that process earlier. So we have Thomas Gregg Elementary and Washington Irvin that are going to implement Project Lead the Way, along with Harshman, which is currently implementing Arsenal Tech. So through creating those pathways, we anticipate that we'll have families and students, along with our community leaders in the STEM fields, come together and provide several opportunities for students to showcase their skills. For example, this coming school year, we're going to offer some sessions on Saturdays on coding and invite parents and community members in to see what students
can
create.
Now, somebody here in coding think you're trying to do secret codes so we can figure out what is coding? Because somebody may not know what that is.
So coding is a very growing and demanding STEM field where programming for software is developed, and so you create codes that basically design software features.
So this is the thing that my computer can work better.
Exactly. So, example, part of coding would be creating an app for a smartphone or a tablet, and so you would need to be able to code to design the features of that particular software.
The other thing is, and I go back to whenever we do with Black History Month, and there's always scientists, African-American scientists, that are talked about during Black History Month, but these are usually scientists that invented something in the 19th century and the early 20th century. Do your schools need to revamp the Black History Month curriculum? And no disrespect to George Washington Carver, no disrespect to Granville Woods and those great pioneers, but I'd rather see the big picture of the brother that helped invent the IBM personal computer and some of this other stuff. Superintendent Smithy,
I'm going to take it to another level, Amos, in that you, as a parent, you don't need to be an engineer for your child to become an engineer. We have so many options today, and fortunate in Lawrence Township, we have schools that are STEM focused.
Okay.
Two of my elementaries, that's all that they do. Indian Creek and Scouse Test.
When you say that's all that they do, now they got to do art in there.
Well, they do a little bit of art.
Okay.
But their primary focus is science.
Okay.
And they're a science academy. So that exposure is given at a very young age to the kids all the way through sixth grade, and then it feeds into the middle schools, and then we land at our prestigious McKinsey Career and Technical Center.
Right.
Where we offer everything that's been mentioned here today. And so we say to parents is that there are options out there for your kids to get involved with STEM, And it's free. They're in your public schools. You don't have to pay for it. Right. And just certainly promote and encourage your young people to take advantage of those opportunities that we give.
Does this, in terms of exposing young people in early age, and we heard earlier, you know, Tracy talked about it, you know, bringing it down to the kindergarten level, could that be maybe in Lawrence Township, some of the kindergartners or first graders would get, you know, go out to the Walker Career Center, which is your career center out there, McKenzie Career Center, and kind of get some touchy-feely.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of touchy-feely in the building, and those two schools specifically, because we were part of a huge magnet grant and bought many hands-on materials that will lead those kids to Project Lead the Way. Mm-hmm. They just don't show up their freshman year in high school. We're preparing them at an early age to become investigators, to become scientists, to become engineers. And that starts with giving them hands-on experiences.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Names. We're talking STEM technology. You can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Let me go to the phones. And Miss B, hi there.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I wanted to ask you something. I remember they had a program at Martin University, a long time ago, where they had kids coming in there, I think it was science or aviation. I think Dr. Harding started it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the same order of this here program they got now. And I think that's what happened. I'm not sure.
So this was something that was at Martin University, but it was not for college students. It was for, like, high school, elementary school?
No, it was children, small
kids. Oh, it was
kids.
Children. I'm sorry.
No, it was small kids.
Okay.
They had little kids, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, that age in there.
Learning about aviation and stuff.
Astronauts and different things and science.
That might have been some of the stuff that NASA was doing back in the day. Is NASA involved in this? Because I know NASA, even though they don't have the money that they had back in the day, they are still involved.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, we have NASA Ignite programs in our after-school 21st Century Community Learning Center programs. Teachers are always tapping into the NASA resources. They have a wonderful website that has lots of resources. So I'm always sending resources out to teachers via email with links and ideas for what they can do in their classroom.
So now we've heard from Dr. Farabee, the schools that are involved in this. We've heard from Superintendent Smith. He's bragging on his schools. And I got to give Pike, you know, what schools are going to be involved in the, in your end of US 2020?
A Central Elementary School, and it's a K-5 elementary school. The principal for next year is Erica Porter, and Lincoln Middle School, and the principal there is Dan Kuznick, and then, of course, Pike High School. So we have it at all levels. So.
Okay.
K-12. And the other thing is I know you probably know about the YCC grant, the Youth Career Connect grant, that Pike was awarded $7 million. We're in partnership with US 2020 because we do need those mentors coming in and helping us with the initiatives that we're doing. And we're not talking about just coming in and showing their faces and talking about what they do. The design of US 2020 is to provide hands-on activities, not just coming in and do their career day talk.
So this is not a career day thing.
No, it's not.
So this is more of a thing sitting down, helping the young people kind of understand what you do or do real world type stuff?
Yeah, and it's also a help to the teacher. So let's say a teacher wants to do something with coding and maybe they don't have a great understanding of it. Well, I tap into the US 2020 portal to help find a STEM mentor. Laura Dodd's group will help us find that person out there. We invite them in. Hey, we're going to do a 12-week coding unit in Mrs. Smith's class. She teaches fifth grade at Central. Would you be willing to come in on Wednesdays at from 1 to 2 and help us with that?
That's great.
239-1310. 239-1310 is the afternoon's name. Is this just in? We lost the game, but we move forward anyway. I do not understand.
We do?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We lost to Germany, 1-0, but then Ghana lost to Portugal, so we advance. See, that's why we need more of our kids educated in STEM to be able to figure out the math involved in soccer. 239-1310. While I got a couple of superintendents here and then somebody high up in Pike Township, I got to ask you this. Your school starts the 1st of August or late July. You got new standards. You got new resource guides. Are y'all ready for this? And the only reason I ask this, I sit on the education roundtable, and some of us at the meeting, we was worried whether y'all ready or whether you have all the material you need to do what you need to do once you open the doors.
Well, obviously, when you have changes at this late in the juncture before the start of school, there are going to be challenges with ensuring that teachers are able to unpack the standards, clearly understand what they're expected to deliver and what students are expected to master. With that said, we will have schools starting on August 4th, and we will open schools successfully and deliver to students what they need. That may require additional professional learning time for staff. That may require us, you know, doing some things that we haven't done in the past. Mm-hmm. I think this will be a very interesting year as we transition to new standards and new assessments. There'll be some implementation dips, but ultimately I do believe strongly that what we are doing is in the best interest of our students as we think about the revisions to curriculum and ensuring that our students are prepared for a career in college. So the short answer is we'll be ready. We have no other choice. That's our obligation. But there will be some challenges because of the lateness and some of the information that we've received.
Superintendent Smith, you got the willies out there on the northeast side?
Well, we will make it work. One of the unique things about educators is that they're very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Those that have been around for a while, we understand that change is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll certainly make it work. But at the end of the day, we just have to be conscientious, and as parents and community, it will take time to understand what those standards are, but the teachers will get it done, and I think the kids will get it done.
Pike, y'all worried on Northwest side?
Oh, yeah. I work for the Curriculum and Programs Department, and tonight I will be at work very late making sure we have our scope and sequence ready with the new standards in there for all of our units of study in math and in language arts. And yes, we will be ready.
Is there concern of the three of you if the state board adopts what we adopted at the roundtable this week, which would be testing 9th and 10th grade, particularly 9th grade that has never been tested before? And I think one of the reasons 9th grade in this state, and DeFerrari may not be as familiar, the 9th graders were never tested, was the feeling that entering high school is traumatic enough. Dropping a test in there is a mess.
They have to take the algebra ECA, so they're used to that test. And that one is, if you don't pass before you leave, you don't leave with a diploma. So, mm-hmm. and historically, Indiana has had I-STEP up into high school before they went to ECAs.
Right.
So we're hoping that with all the transitions, all the new assessments, that our teachers will prepare our students to be ready for that.
Yeah, I echo any additional standardized testing is a challenge. It's a challenge for counseling, career casting, all the work that goes on in a high school. And so it would be my hope that this would replace, or we would find a solution where we're not administering a 9th and 10th grade I-STEP assessment along with the end of course assessment.
Now, the recommendation, because you've been busy, you've been doing a whole lot of stuff this week. The recommendation is 9 and 10, and 10 becomes ECA. 10 is ECA, which is where it used to be in this state. And then you get the three strikes or the three chances to pass the 10th grade. Because I had to raise my hand and say, I don't see this on the paper. Is this what y'all mean? And they said, yeah, Mr. Brown, shut up and sit down. One other thing before I let you all go, one of the things that was discussed this past Monday was I-STEP ought to have some reading questions so that teachers and educators in schools can have some idea of the reading level where kids are. Because I read is you either pass I read or you flunked I read. And no reading level. Y'all do this for a living every day. I just they make me come to a meeting and have to make a vote on something I'm still learning about. Does that make any sense? Because it made some sense to me. We didn't have enough votes to get it done.
Anytime you can get assessment data to provide information that will inform instruction or give parents or guardians ideas of where to go next to support the students would be very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Pass and fail doesn't mean a lot to a parent or instructor in terms of what the needs are for that student and how you can move them forward. So anytime we can get information about learner needs or mastery, will help us and help parents and guardians with the work that we need to do to ensure students are prepared for success.
Is it worth the risk of adding an extra hour to ISTEP? Because that came up in the meeting and everybody said, oh, the test is too long. And I'm going, I don't think it's that long.
I think you can do both without adding additional time.
And I agree, Lewis. And I think any information we can give to parents that's simple and easy to understand about their kids is great. Because currently the information is very complex, and the more simpler it is for the parents, I think the better.
One final thing, I'm going to have to vote later this year on the cut scores for ISTEP. Should we have something where you know what passing is before you take the doggone test?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if I get up there and make that amendment, it'll die. But if I make that amendment, I will be friends with every teacher and superintendent in the state. Because I've always wondered, why? With the SAT, you know if you get 400, you know you're not going to Harvard. You know, I mean, it's just, and in each of your school systems, you have a student handbook that clearly defines what an A is, what a B is, what an F is. And I can't understand that.
I would challenge those making the decision of what's the purpose. If it's a truly criterion reference test, and that is you want to measure what students have mastered, I think the scoring is done differently than a norm reference test, which is more so comparing how students perform to other students taking the same assessment. So I think we really have to get to the root cause of the challenge that we're in is, what's truly
Measuring?
What are we trying to get at?
All right. If people want more information about US 2020 and what you guys are doing, obviously they can go to the website of the Pike Township Schools, the Lawrence Township Schools, and IPS. And every parent out there should know what the website is, because that's where you guys put the student handbooks that every time somebody calls about the township or IPS, I say, have you read? I can't. I'm trying to get everybody to read y'all's handbook. Y'all spend time to put the hand. Least they could do is read the rules of the game. Because that really is the rules of your game.
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to help y'all. Or you can go to the website of Tech Point Foundation, which is, what is that?
TechPointYouth.org.
TechPointYouth.org. And the Tech Point person just sat there in the back, just so quiet. You bring others to the table. Laura, we appreciate that. Dr. Lewis Ferriby, superintendent of IPS. Dr. Sean Smith, the superintendent of Lawrence. Tracy Bunting Swinton from Pike Township Schools. Guys, thanks very, very much. Oh, tomorrow in our first hour, I'm going to meet these innovation fellows that were announced earlier today. They get to go into four IPS schools down the road. Oh, three IPS. I should read the official stuff, not the unofficial stuff. The three IPS schools down the road. When will that start? That start 15, 16, Superintendent?
The fellowships start in July, and we'll have our first phase of the innovation implementation in the 2015-16 school year.
All right, and we'll hear from those folks on the program tomorrow. Guys, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, find out what is on your mind. U.S. loses the soccer game, but then they advance. It's weird. It's After News with Amos after these.